All right. Welcome. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned in to Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
So we want to welcome you once again to our relationship podcast. We always want to encourage you to go to the website, simplifycomplexity.org, where you can go and find more information. We have many other podcast resources that will definitely benefit you. If you're in a relationship, if you're looking to get in a relationship, if you're single, if you're married, no matter what you're going through, we got a little bit of something for everyone, right? So before we get started with our topic, which I'm going to go ahead and give a little teaser, our topic today is going to be lust. So we're going to talk about lust. But before we get into that, we just really want to give a shout out to Harris Booker just for his continual support and supporting this podcast. Mm-hmm. If you're looking about insurance, if you're thinking about insurance, we definitely want to encourage you to give him a call at 909-717-4886. He's with Bankers Life, and this brother just has a big heart. He knows what he's doing, and he wants you to be informed, so give him a call. Mm-hmm. All right. So with that said, lust. Now, when I say that, man, I mean, it kind of sounds almost like a bad word. It's not a bad word, you know, but it kind of has that aura about it. So when I say lust, what's the first thing that kind of comes to your mind? Not the definition. What's just the first thing that comes to your mind?
I think of like a video model.
Okay.
If you ever watched like any rap videos, something like that, okay. It's like that video model. I guess nowadays that Instagram model.
Okay. All right. So as we talk about lust, there's many different things that we can feel or assume about lust. Mm-hmm. But we want to first start out by talking about what does lust mean? What is lust? I mean, it's a word that I don't think we use in our vocabulary on a regular basis.
Right.
But it's definitely a term that the Bible refers to quite a bit. So what does lust mean? So what do you have there, man?
I have the actual literal definition of lust.
Okay.
And it says, one, an intense or unrestrained sexual craving, or two, an overwhelming desire or craving.
Right. And that's what a lot of times our mind can first go sexual. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a sexual tendency, because when we talk about cravings, we also want to associate that with our flesh. Mm-hmm. And so that's another kind of biblical term or Christian term that sometimes, you know, as Christians, we can walk around and say, you know, deny the flesh. But then you might have somebody who's not a Christian, like, what in the world is the flesh?
Right.
Like, what does that mean? And so basically what we're talking about is you have physical cravings. Mm-hmm. So similar to maybe, let's say you didn't eat all in the morning, you didn't eat in the afternoon, all of a sudden it's nighttime. You have a craving for food, like your body is yearning for food. And that's similar to what it's referring to when it talks about the flesh. It's the physical craving. It's the physical pleasure. It's the physical anger. It's everything that has to do with the physical.
Right.
Now, when you add lust to it, we're talking about that drive for the physical, mm-hmm. that drive to fulfill the physical.
Right.
And so as we look at another aspect, what are some things that we can lust for? What are some things that are driving us?
So right off the bat, I'll say some of the things. You can even go down a route of, like, let's say you're on a diet or something like that.
Okay.
Now, you know you're supposed to stay away from certain foods. You know what I mean? But you see that Krispy Kreme sign, and something happens in your mind. Something is triggered, like, oh, man, I could just smell it. And you don't even really got a smell in your nose, but, oh, my mind, it just starts working.
And what's interesting about with that analogy that you give is you know what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You know what you should do, but that's what that lust is. That's what that drive is it moves you to where you're no longer doing what you should or need to. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're sitting in a car with what?
Krispy Kreme.
With Krispy Kremes. Now, let's apply that to relationships. Mm-hmm. In relationships, many times it can move us into directions in the area of relationships that we should not be moved into.
Exactly.
So, for example, most Christians know that you should not be dating somebody who is not a Christian. Mm-hmm. God wants you to date somebody who believes in him, who has faith in him, so that way you two share that common bond.
Right.
But many times there are people that, even though they know it, they have the head knowledge, what happens?
They go off on other paths.
They go off on other paths because there's a craving, because they see, I'm just going to go with the guy. We're going to do the guys for a minute.
I'm going to try this.
The guy, he sees the girl. And at the moment, as he sees the girl, it's about that physical appeal. It's about that physical drive. She is doing something for me. And so at this moment, I really don't care if you, you know, from Timbuktu, I don't care who you believe in. You could be Buddha, you know, it don't matter.
Yeah.
You look good. And so I want them digits. Mm-hmm. I want to take you out. And that's the path that it can begin to take us.
Right. And then, you know, with lust, man, it takes you down that path. And then you even just start computing things in your head like, okay, well, it's not that bad.
Ooh, you hit it on it. Man, lust will have you reasoning the unreasonable.
Right. It'll just send you off on a whole different,
trying to make sense out of something that don't make any sense.
Well, she believes in Buddha, but, you know, she believes in like the newer Buddha that's closer to the Western. Like, you know, you just come with all types of stuff.
No, okay. Well, I'm trying to guide her into Christ. And so I'm trying to lead her into Christ. I can't lead her to Christ if I don't know her, if I don't date her. So I'm a dater. And, you know, now let's go a step further. So that's what ends up happening when so many Christians know that they should not have sex before marriage. Mm-hmm. They know it. They've seen the impact, the damage within their own lives. They've seen it around other people. But yet, people still choose to have sex outside of marriage.
Right.
Because it's that drive. It's that physical drive to fulfill what is physically feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was thinking about is the motivating factor. The motivating determining factor. So as we're making decision making, because in life we're constantly making choices, we're constantly making decisions. But what is that motivating decision factor that is moving you in the choice that you're about to make?
Right.
And that's what I want us to think about a little bit. As we talk about lust, I want you to step outside of just lust being something sexual, but understand that when we talk about lust, lust always takes us in a negative direction. Lust is all about self. Lust is all about pleasing self. And that becomes that motivating, dividing factor, that motivating, determining factor in our lives to where I'm making the choice not based off of what I should do or what God wants me to do, but I'm making that choice based off of
what I want to do.
Based off of what I want to do.
Right. And see, that's where lust really gets tricky, where it just really gets dangerous, is because just like you said, you're trying to fulfill something that's going to benefit you. It's going to, you know, you're going to have some type of gain to it. You're not concerned about people around you, how it's going to affect people around you.
Yeah.
You're just concerned about what can I get?
Yeah.
You know, what's going to put a smile on my face at the end of the day?
Well, let's add to that. Think about it when you think about a guy who meets a girl or when a girl meets the guy, vice versa, is what is it about them looking good? Is that really about them or who's that about?
It's about you.
It's about you. It's about me. And many of us, that's what drives us. That's that motivating, determining factor, or driving factor, is that we're driven by what pleases me. You look good. You're doing something for me. You're stimulating me. And so therefore, I'm driven to make this particular decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about self. And wherever self is, that's when things get really messed up.
Right.
Wherever self is, that's where you find destruction. Now, there's a couple of scriptures. One of the scriptures I was thinking about, was in Romans 13, verse 14. Mm-hmm. So Romans 13, 14. This isn't one that you have, right?
Hopefully. No.
Okay, good. So we have some different scriptures. It says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts."
Mm-hmm.
And so God is very serious that we don't need to make any provision for it. Don't even open that up. Now, you can't stop so-and-so from walking down the street looking as fine as she is, or you can't stop seeing so-and-so walking down the street as fine as he is, or whatever it is. You can't stop from seeing those things that are attractive, from seeing those things that physically are appealing.
Right.
But what you can control is don't open that door.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take step two. What is it? The second look?
That second look. That's going.
don't do the third look.
Right. It's going, because it's going to hurt you. It's going to be a nice fall.
Yeah.
Man.
So what scripture you got there, man?
So the scripture I actually have is over in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, verse 14 through 17. And it says, do not commit adultery. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else your neighbor owns. Mm-hmm. And so for why that scripture really spoke out to me is because when we deal with lust, again, like you said, it's not just on the sexual part of it, but it can just be of things that we want. You know, we lust to have that top position at a company, or we lust for that X dollar amount in our bank account. You know what I mean? And then the question just comes up, what are we doing to either appease that lust or either turn away from that lust and just do things the way that we're supposed to be doing them?
Well, let's go a step further. With inside of relationships, things aren't always smooth. Mm-hmm. Things don't always feel good. Now, mind you, the whole thing about lust is it's a physical drive for those things that feel good. So what ends up happening when you're in a relationship, and as we're in this relationship, I'm not feeling good about the relationship. Mm. Now my decision-making process is being attached to not what is righteous, not what is good.
Right.
But now it's associated to, well, I don't feel good, and therefore I'm making my decisions based off of that. And so therefore, because I don't feel like what you're doing should be what you should be doing, I'm going to say peace to the relationship or to the marriage. And so and many times that's what so many people, that's why they're so quick to just move away from a marriage.
Yeah.
It's because I no longer feel in love.
Right, right, right.
And you hear that, I don't feel like I'm in love anymore. But your feelings, it's not just about you. It's about your commitment. Mm-hmm. And think about some other selfish choices. So let's just go to selfish choices. And maybe you might have an example. But what's a selfish choice that people begin to make that it benefits them, but they're not thinking about others with inside the relationship?
Right. So, I mean, I guess one example would just be just in what you're saying and talking about a relationship is, well, first I would just say, why is it so dangerous when you have those feelings? It's because your mind almost tells you it's okay that I'm going to do this because I'm feeling this way.
Right.
You know, whether it be you're in a relationship with someone and I don't know, you have this person at work that you talk to all the time and it's just small talk. Or
it's harmless,
yeah,
right?
You think it's small talk. Yeah. But then that small talk starts turning into bigger talks and longer discussions until now you're like, whoa, how did I end up at lunch with this person?
Right.
You know, how did I end up in this person's house having dinner tonight?
Because it felt good and it was harmless. And let's just, why don't you scale it back? What if it never goes to lunch? What if it's just a constant friendship and communication with this particular woman? Mm-hmm. Are you thinking about, or man, let's put it, you know, are you thinking about the other person? Or are you just thinking about self? Mm-hmm. For self says, well, it's not a big deal. I'm not doing anything wrong. But self does not think about the other person.
Right. And see, when you think about the other person, you know, like, for instance, for example, for the men, if you're doing this, you're not thinking about the woman that's at home with you or, you know, waiting for you. She's not appreciating that. She's not appreciating you maybe sharing certain secrets with this other woman that you're out to lunch with or just having casual conversation with.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good to her. It's actually kind of hurtful.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that when we're going through the patterns and the things that we're doing, that we're coming to a realization of that. It's like you said, we're just focused on self.
On self. And wherever self is, you're going to have destruction. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to kind of have this discussion about lust, because we sometimes have a narrow view of lust and we almost feel as though, well, because I'm not cheating or I'm not, you know, having sex outside of marriage or, you know, watching pornographic material, that therefore, you know, I don't really have a lust problem. But you can have a lust problem because you're dealing with self. You have a self problem.
Right.
Self says, I want the car, and self doesn't think about, well, maybe the wife doesn't want to have the car at the moment. Self says, well, I want to have this, and doesn't think about what the husband wants. And so self is just, what do I want? Mm-hmm. What do I want? What do I need? And it's not thinking about the other person.
Right. It's not even thinking rationally. You know what I mean?
Now, so there's some scriptures. How do we deal with self? How do we move forward? So as we began to widen the scope and better understand lust and how it impacts us, is what do we do about it? One of the things that the scripture tells us is that if you want to deny the flesh, then you have to walk in the spirit.
Right.
They get that in Galatians 5:16. It says, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do you begin to decrease self, that selfish drive, that selfish desire, as you begin to seek God? Right. You begin to seek what is good because God is selfless. He loved us when it didn't benefit him. He loved us when we were in our sins. He loved us when we were hard-headed. He loved us. He has mercy that abounds. His goodness is great to us. And that's where we want to be. That's a place that we have to strive for, is that we want to just have goodness. We want to have virtuous characteristics. And so one of the things I encourage, and I was talking about in my book, is that you want to value virtue over the physical.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people, you want to value virtue. When you see you, you want to value virtue. You want to value goodness. And how are you doing that? How am I thinking about others? How am I going the extra mile? How am I giving that effort? Right. One of the things that I think about is going above and beyond. When you hear that, what do you think of what comes to your mind?
You're just going the extra mile. You're doing what doesn't need to be done, but you're just doing it because you can do it. Right. Because it should be done.
Because it should be done.
Yeah.
And there are moments that we do what is needed. We do what is asked. But going above and beyond is not just limiting it to the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's apply this into relationships, right? And so in relationships, there's times that you can find yourself giving. Mm-hmm. There's fine times that you can find yourself being selfless, right? But in that, you're just doing the bare minimum.
Right.
And the bare minimum doesn't always work within relationships. Somebody right now, you're listening to this and you're going through something, you're dealing with something, and part of the reason why you're dealing with what you're dealing with is because you're giving the bare minimum. And you're rationalizing it as though, well, I'm doing my part.
Mm-hmm.
But God goes what?
He goes the extra mile for
He goes
us.
The extra mile. He goes above and beyond. And that's what I want you to think about is go above and beyond, because that's what God does for us.
Mm-hmm,
that's His goodness. So go ahead, man. I'm kind of
man. That's good what you're saying, man. Just thinking about that, man. I just think back to me and my wife. You know, my wife. She always, for the most part, she always goes above and beyond. I can tell her, babe, I'm hungry, or she can ask me, do you want anything to eat? And I say, yeah. She'll say, you know, well, what would you like? I say, chicken is fine. Now, in my head, I'm thinking, like, what's going to suffice for me is just some fried chicken. Really nothing else. I don't need anything else.
Right.
But then my wife gets done in the kitchen, I got some fried chicken,
right.
some homemade French fries, maybe a little coleslaw on the side.
Yeah. Right.
Then she got a dessert already laid out for me.
You're trying to make me hungry, huh?
You know?
She messed with me.
But she's going above and beyond. I didn't even ask for all that.
Right.
You know, but she's doing stuff, and especially she knows what's going to make me excited, what's
right.
going to make me happy. You know what I mean? She's putting in that extra time. She's putting in that extra elbow grease
right.
to even crank out the rest of this stuff. And, you know, I really grow to appreciate that because it's above and beyond for no reason.
And going above and beyond, it helps us to curve. It helps us to deal with the flesh because the flesh is always there. Self mm-hmm. is always there. The physical is always there. But how do you deal with those selfish tendencies is you go above and beyond. I think about it like sports. I like coaching basketball. And so there's times when you can come across somebody and let's say for their shot. And so their shooting and how they shoot can be so out of whack that their shooting posture is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin to teach them and you're trying to say, well, no, you need to do your shooting posture here or you need to do it like this. But they keep leaning more toward the old style. So sometimes in order to help them to develop a better shooting technique is you kind of push them overboard. You kind of over-exaggerate.
Mm-hmm.
And as they begin to over-exaggerate, for them, it's like, wow, this is way radical, but you're actually just starting to do what you need to do.
Right.
But for you, it's over-exaggerating because it's so different. And it's the same thing within relationships. If you want to avoid lust, if you want to avoid that selfish tendency, is you have to over-exaggerate. Go above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take your wife or your husband out.
Mm-hmm.
Go above and beyond. Yeah, you can do the minimum. Baby, I took you out. I did what I was supposed to do. But don't look at it like that. Go above and beyond. You
right.
know, when you're giving those flowers, go above and beyond. When you're making that meal, what you say?
Mm-hmm. She went above and beyond.
Go above and beyond. When you give that kiss, go above and beyond. When
right.
you make love, because if you're married, go above and beyond. Don't just have sex. Somebody right now like, what did he just say? Yeah, I just said that because I mean, God is not approved. The marriage bed is undefiled.
Right, right.
Now, if you're not married, then go above and beyond to make sure that you don't have sex.
That's good. That's good.
Now, in doing that, you're showing that other person that you're valuing their virginity. Yeah. You're valuing them by saying, you know what, I'm going to make sure we don't put ourselves in compromising positions because I know that my flesh is weak.
Right.
And so therefore, we're just not going to be laid up watching Netflix. And so therefore, I'm going above and beyond to make sure that we don't put ourselves in compromising positions.
That's right, man. That's good.
So, yeah. All right, you have any other last thoughts, man?
Man, I just a last thought, and it just really came to my mind, man. Just an encouragement, especially for the brothers in relationships and that are married. Someone once told me when it came to just dealing with lust, you know, are you going to lust for the body or are you going to lust for her characteristics?
Yeah.
You see, because it's her body that's going to raise your eyebrows. Mm-hmm. But it's her character, right, which is going to raise your children, which is going to raise a family, which is going to continue to raise your future up and better you. You know, so, and he was just saying that just to say that, you know, you should value what's at home and the wife that you have at home rather than seeing somebody else out on the street looking fine, you know, and, you know, these tens walking down the street. It's all just lust and it's just empty lust because what they can give to you is just something visual. But what your wife can give to you at home is something much bigger than that.
Yeah.
So that's just my little.
That's a good word. I mean, because we don't think about that. The physical is only going to get you so far.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a temporary relationship, then go ahead and let your motivating driving factor be the fact that it's outward appearance. But if your focus is inward appearance, if your focus is goodness, if it's virtue,
mm-hmm,
those are the qualities you need to have lasting relationships.
Right.
And so if you want to have a lasting relationship, don't just settle for what's she looked good or he looked good. You better look and see what they're about on the inside, mm-hmm, what their inner character is about. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for this opportunity that we can just minister to people and help them in the different aspects of life. And Father, we just pray that we were able to reveal something new about lust and help people to understand it and see it in a different way to where they can begin to overcome those selfish and self-centered desires that are so destructive within relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Father, help them to seek and to drive after virtue. Help them to seek and drive after goodness and to be good and to go above and beyond. We love you. We love you. We love you. Be with us and guide us. We ask all these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. God keep you. Until next time, don't forget to go to the website. All right.
Put your hands up. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. The house of the Lord. Yeah. It's what you come for.
Come on.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Put your hands up. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me.
I'd rather be your people, I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you, because a body can't function when a body's been